Computers are something that people use every single day, whether it's in work, at home, even on the way to work. But the problem with it is that not a lot of people know how computers work, or even what parts there are to a computer. You know, if you see what people think of as a regular computer, which would be a desktop computer, so where there's a big, essentially, box with a power cable coming out of it, and then that plugs into a monitor. A lot of people don't really think about what's actually in that big box, if you will. And the thing is, everything now is a computer. Whether it's a smart fridge, your watch, if you have a smart watch, whether it be a Fitbit, an Apple Watch, anything like that, that is a computer. Even light bulbs now, if you have smart lights at home, those are technically tiny little computers. Computers are usually made up of four main parts. The first part would be the processor, or the CPU, central processing unit of the computer. And this is essentially the brain of the computer. This is what processes all of the information for the computer. There's the memory, or RAM, as it's also called, which is essentially short-term memory. So if the computer needs access to something, it will keep it in RAM, because RAM is really, really fast. Then there's also storage, which is more like the long-term memory. So usually with storage, there is a larger amount of it because you're going to want to store more things in there, but it's also a lot slower. Finally, there's also the motherboard, which the motherboard is essentially the thing that lets all of these different pieces talk together. So it will allow the processor to communicate with the RAM to retrieve whatever it needs from the short-term memory, or it will say, okay, well, we're done with this, so you can send it to storage now. So the motherboard is essentially what lets all these pieces communicate. A lot of modern computers, whether it be an actual desktop computer or something like your phone, where it might have a screen, will also have what's called a graphics processing unit. So, as I mentioned earlier, the brain of the computer, or the processor, is usually what's called a CPU, and that's a central processing unit. So the graphics processing unit essentially is used to take some of the work away from the CPU, and that's why it's called a graphics processing unit, because it's specifically meant to process graphics so that they can be displayed on the screen. Which obviously that means that then there are less things for the CPU to do, so it can really free it up to do other things. And it also means that you can do a lot more complicated things on that computer, whether it be your phone or your actual laptop or computer. You can play better games, you can play them with higher settings, you can use a better screen, etc., if you have a GPU. And part of how it does this is a GPU usually has built-in memory, which is, as I said, short-term storage, essentially. So, for example, the things that are showing up in your game. So, let's say, like, there's a sofa and a TV and all these other things in a room. Well, those will actually be stored in the GPU's memory so that it doesn't have to go into storage every time. And because it's built onto the GPU, it's even faster than if we kept it in RAM, because it's literally connected directly to it. Now, CPUs do have this kind of faster memory as well, which is used for certain things that they may need to access very often or very quickly, and this is referred to as cache. Now, there are different levels of it, and each one has a different speed, but it's a lot less than what would be available on a GPU. So you couldn't store a whole game in there, for example. So that's part of the reason why we have GPUs. They're used for all sorts of things, and they just essentially help to alleviate some of the work on the CPU. CPUs, as I previously mentioned, are the brain of the computer, but not all of them are created equally. Obviously, the one in your phone isn't going to be as powerful as the one in your computer, and the one in a smart light isn't going to be as powerful as the one in a phone. Now, part of how CPUs work is they have these things called cores. Now, cores are essentially how many things a computer can do at once. So if a computer has one core, then it can only do one thing at once. But if it has 10, then it can do 10 things at once. Now, computers, modern computers at least, also have these things called threads, which is a way of letting one core do multiple tasks. So if you had 10 cores, but each core had two threads, then actually your computer would be able to do 20 things at once. Now, computers also have different speeds and things like that for their processors, but these essentially just influence how fast a computer can complete tasks. And threads, as I said, are actually how many it can complete at once. And now, the thing is, you might think, oh, well, a computer can only do four things at once if it only has, you know, four cores, for example. But computers do things in nanoseconds, usually. So although it might only be able to do four things at once, or eight things, or 10 things at once, which doesn't sound like very much, it might actually be doing a million things every second on each one of those cores. So it's actually doing 10 million things a second if it has 10 cores. RAM, as I mentioned earlier, is essentially the short-term memory of a computer, which is supposed to be very high-speed memory, but it's not permanent. For example, if you turn off a computer, all of what was kept in RAM or memory will be gone. So that's because it uses electricity to store data, and that's part of how it can read it so fast, because it's just stored using basically electrical signals to say whether there's a 1 or a 0, because everything is stored in binary. And how this works is usually there's a speed for the particular RAM that you're using. So they usually come in sticks, and then you put those on your motherboard. And that's another reason why it's so fast, because again, it's directly on the motherboard of your computer. And then usually you'll have different sizes of RAM. So for example, your phone might have 8 gigabytes of RAM, and that might be one stick or two sticks of RAM. But then your computer might have 16 or 32, and that could be 4 sticks or 8 sticks, and they come in different sizes and speeds. But that's essentially RAM. It's a non-permanent, high-speed way to store things that you're going to need. Storage, as I mentioned earlier, is used for longer-term permanent storage of things. So this is useful because let's say you have a file, and you're not going to open that file for the next 6 months. You don't really want to keep that in RAM because you don't have a lot of RAM. You only have a few gigabytes. And when you turn off your computer, it would disappear. So we don't need to keep that in RAM because we don't need to access it all the time. And it doesn't need to be super fast. So that's when we use storage. Now, there are usually two types of storage. And that's a hard drive or a solid state drive or SSD. Now, a hard drive is usually referred to as a mechanical drive, and it's called that because it's mechanical, as in it has moving parts. So how hard drives work is they have a metal enclosure, if you will, so the outside of it is usually metal. Inside that, there's usually some kind of gas, which is usually less dense than air, so essentially it's something like helium. And then in there you have these what are called platters, which are metal, well, magnetized discs. So these discs have all sorts of little, if you want to think of them as dots on them, right? And depending on whether these discs have like a positive or negative magnetic charge, which you don't need to understand, don't worry about that, will then correlate to a 1 or a 0. And these platters spin. They spin really, really fast. They spin at either usually 5,400 or 7,200 RPM or rotations per minute. So every single minute, that little platter will be turning around 7,200 times possibly. There are faster and slower ones than that, but that's the ones that you would usually buy if you were buying a computer. In order to read data from these spinning magnetic platters, inside of the hard drive, there are these things called read-write heads. and as the name implies, they're used to read or write data. Essentially how it works is as these platters are spinning super fast, these read-write heads will position themselves over a part of the hard drive. And the hard drives remember where things are stored, essentially. So it will go and maneuver itself so that it is over that particular part of the hard drive so that it can read that particular data or write that particular data. Now, this happens very fast, but there are still moving parts. So obviously these parts can fail, and obviously it takes a couple of milliseconds. I think it's usually around 15, for example, to read data from a hard drive, which might not sound like a very long time, but when it's taking your processor a few nanoseconds to do something with that data, it's a big waste of time. You know, it's thousands of times longer than it actually would be taking if the processor could just access that data straight away. Then we have the second option, which is called an SSD or a solid state drive. Now, these are usually more expensive than hard drives, but they're actually far cheaper than they used to be. So, as the name implies, the data is stored in a solid state. So that just means that there are no moving parts in an SSD, so there's no read-write heads. But that also means that you don't have to wait for those read-write heads. Essentially, the SSDs work kind of like RAM do. They use tiny little memory chips to store data electronically. Now, unlike RAM, this is still permanent. So even if you turn off your computer, it still remembers what was stored there. So this allows it to be a lot faster, not quite as fast as RAM, but to be permanent. So it's far faster than hard drives, not quite as fast as RAM, but it is way better. Now, this does depend on the SSD, because there's different ways to connect your SSD to a computer. You can use a standard called SATA. Now, this is what is used to connect something like a hard drive to a computer, where you would have a cable going from the motherboard to the hard drive. And a lot of SSDs can be connected like that as well. But there's much faster ways to do it by using something like an M.2 SSD. And this essentially lets you put the SSD directly on the motherboard, which, if you remember earlier, I said that things that are directly on the motherboard are a lot faster just because they're closer together. So an M.2 drive is also much faster. They're also a lot smaller than traditional SSDs as well. To give you an idea of how fast a hard drive and an SSD is and how much of a difference there is, for example, the fastest consumer hard drive at the minute can read data at 286.8 megabytes per second. And that might sound pretty fast, but it's honestly not. If you're trying to move a 10 gigabyte file, that's going to take you, what, I think 50 seconds, maybe a minute? Which doesn't sound like a long time, but if you're doing that all day, every day, that adds up. And the write speeds for that drive are 279.3 megabytes per second, which again, sounds fast enough, but again, it's not. Especially if you're playing a game or trying to stream something, or trying to watch like a 4K video, for example. Compare that to an SSD, so the fastest consumer SSD can read data at 14,500 megabits per second. Now, that's an M.2 drive, which, as I said, is connected directly to the motherboard. Now, that is 50 times faster. So, you can see the difference there with an SSD. Now, not every SSD is going to be that fast, and a lot of them are not. And obviously those are more expensive as well. But that just goes to show that you can find an SSD that is 50 times faster than the fastest hard drive. And the thing is, even the cheap SSDs are probably at least 2 or 10 times faster than a hard drive. And in terms of writing data, that same SSD can read at 12,700 megabytes per second. So that's over 45 times faster. So again, it's huge. The difference between hard drives and SSDs are huge. And that is why a lot of people don't really use hard drives anymore. Even in your phone, you probably have an SSD. And a couple of years ago, in computers, everybody was using hard drives. But now, if you go out and buy a new computer, unless you buy a very cheap one or you buy an older one, it probably won't even have a hard drive in it anymore. Because it used to be that you would buy a new computer a couple of years ago and it might have a small SSD for storing Windows on it, for example. And then it would have a big hard drive for storing everything else. But now, SSDs are just so much faster and they've become a lot cheaper. So everybody just uses SSDs. And that's not to say that hard drives are bad, because they're not. They're just used for specific purposes. So, for example, in a data center, so for a company like Google, they might have servers in there and they would probably use hard drives. A lot of those server hard drives can also be faster than the consumer ones as well. And Google doesn't want to buy SSDs unless they need to, because they are more expensive. So if you're going to buy a lot of them, or if you want to store, for example, you know, like 20 terabytes of data, you're probably going to want to buy hard drive and not an SSD, because they're so much more expensive, especially when they're that big. And the average person doesn't need to store that much data. So that's why a lot of people now just have SSDs. As I mentioned at the start of the episode, pretty much everything now is a computer in one way or another. And it's quite amazing when you think about it that something as small as a phone can contain all these parts that are so fast and have so much storage. Even your phone probably has, you know, 32, 64, 128. It could have as much of, well, gigabytes, or it could have up to a terabyte of storage on there, which is insane. That is so much. A few years ago, you could only buy a phone with 8 gigabytes of storage. It has come so far, so fast. And I said, literally everything is a computer, whether it's your fridge, even your car now has a computer in it. So I hope that this has helped you understand that everything that you use is essentially a computer, and also a little bit about how those things work, or at least the parts that make them work. That is it for this week's episode. Again, this is the Envision Tech Podcast. I've been your host, Paul Gagan, and I will talk to you next time.